Fantastic. Well, hello, everybody. I am thrilled to bits to be here today to officially kind of launch the postnatal recovery tent within the women's wellbeing space, which is a part of the women's wellbeing space where we're welcoming new mums, especially those mums who are maybe slightly older mums, late 30s, early 40s, maybe even mid 40s. And this is a place that we want to be able to welcome you and especially look after you. And I've got one of the women's health gurus, the pelvic floor physiotherapist, who is, you know, the real expert when it comes to pelvic floor recovery work. And I'm very thrilled to have Irena Van Zyl here to come and chat. So hi, Irena.
Thank you for the intro. I've just realized my surname won't be like that anymore in the next few weeks, will it?
I know.
I just realized when you said that. Thank you so much, Linda. I do laugh when you say I'm the expert because I often refer back to you thinking if it comes to rehab, I actually think you're probably more of an expert than I am. So it's great that we work together because we definitely sing from the same hymnal of, you know, breathing, relaxation, release work and all that. So it is 100%. Nice to work with somebody who absolutely gets where I'm coming from as well.
Yeah. And I got to say, ladies, I do only recommend and work with people that I know personally are fantastic. And Irena and I were sort of found each other, colleagues, and become friends now. And she's also my pelvic floor physiotherapist. So there you go.
Yeah, likewise. Love the membership because I can dip in there. Sometimes I've only got 5 minutes. So I quickly pop in and do 5 minutes. And sometimes I've got half an hour and I can do half an hour. So I absolutely love the flexibility of the membership, which is brilliant. Right, do you want to talk about what we're going to talk about or should I launch right in?
Well, I thought maybe, so this is kind of going to be a Q&A session with Irena, Ask Irena. So it's an opportunity for members to come and bring pelvic floor, deep core, pain issues, discomfort issues, laxity issues, things that they're not quite sure of. Maybe either in their own practice or things that are just going on, and opportunity to come and just ask Irena. So we're going to kick off just with some answers to questions that we hear a lot, basically, that are very, very common, especially for women who are finding that they're coming out of pregnancy and birth, and within that year or two or 3 years after birthing are going straight into those early perimenopausal years and not necessarily getting the progesterone and the estrogen back up, and therefore dealing with issues that maybe they thought would happen, I don't know, in their 50s and 60s. So, Irena, can you start off just by kind of explaining why we both feel like this is something that needs to be addressed?
Well, yeah, I think what we're definitely seeing is the age of mothers is definitely going up, isn't it? People are starting their families a lot later. And I think women are, I mean, it's quite funny because my patients giggle when they were being told they were geriatric pregnancy at the age of 35, you know, because you definitely don't feel geriatric. But we do know that's when you start, you know, have higher risk pregnancies and more complications and all that sort of thing. So it's worth understanding that when you're planning to start a family that, you know, a lot of factors come into when you have your children, isn't it? It's not just as easy as like, oh, I think I'm 25, I'm going to have them. You may not be financially established. You may not have a partner, you know, all these things. So it's kind of out of our control for a large part of it. But just bearing in mind that oftentimes you're going to come, as you say, out of that postmenopausal period. You might be coming, you might still be breastfeeding and all the hormonal stuff that goes with that. You might have two kids in quick succession because you don't want to take a long career break. So you're actually spending quite a lot of years low on estrogen. And then you in your early 40s when estrogen is declining anyway. And then the effect that that has on your muscle tissue, on your connective tissue, and so many other systems in the body. But for the purposes of today, you know, this, the kind of atrophy of the sphincters and the atrophy of the muscle tissue, particularly in the pelvic floor, but all over the body, really. So it's just being aware of all of that and what it is that you can do about it, or what you kind of have to, as I said to you earlier, what deposits do you need to start making earlier on so that you can get the interest later on in life and you're not struggling with incontinence as you get older, or, you know, back pain or other issues that we see, prolapse issues and so on.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair, does it, that we you know, 9 months of gestation, and then the birth, going through the birth, and sometimes with other little ones at home as well, and the utter exhaustion that comes from having, you know, one, two, maybe three children, and then to also be dealing with stuff that you thought was, you know, was way off down the track. It just doesn't seem fair. And yet, like you say, it's so worth putting in the effort to get that strength back when you can. And that's why we've designed this tent within the Women's Wellbeing space, in order for people to be able to do what they can when they can with our support. But yes, I, honestly, because of my own perimenopausal journey, I know firsthand that you can, you know, you can think that you have got a nice strong pelvic floor, et cetera, et cetera. But once we start to lose that estrogen, so every woman on this planet, it's going to happen. Everybody's going to go through menopause, everyone. So it's a fact of life. We're going to start losing that estrogen, and the muscle fibers just do become less elastic. They become less strong. They don't hold, you know, we have to work with intra-abdominal pressure. We have to be wary of going straight back into boot camps and, you know, HIIT classes and things that might be running, that might be putting pressure down, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a big, you just touched on something there that I see so often, is because you kind of lose a bit of your identity during your pregnancy and your early child years, you know, those 0 to 3 years. And I think what women often say to me is, I just want to go for a run. I just want to feel like me again. And now, interestingly, that is the biggest thing I hear from my menopausal clients coming in, going, I just don't feel like me. And for whatever factors it is that's causing that, you know. So unfortunately, if that being me means your body's in a certain shape, or your fitness is at a certain level, or, you know, what you term your attractiveness is at a certain level, and that requires for you to go do these, you know, heavy going boot camps, HIIT classes, etc., CrossFit, whatever. Now, I'm very keen to get my patients back to the stuff they want to do, but there's definitely caveats to what we do and how we do that. The guy I do a lot of my female athlete training with always talks about the farmhouse and the fence and the village, you know. And if you're in the farmhouse, you're asymptomatic, you have no pain. And then there's the fence and the yard. And you kind of want to go up to the fence all the time and kind of push those boundaries, but you don't want to drop the fence over and then run to the village, because this is when we have the prolapse symptoms, the leaking, you know, when you do too much too soon, or not in the right way, or, you know, if you haven't actually been released and lined and all those things connecting with the breath, that's when problems really, really happen and get worse. And then you might have underlying conditions, as you say, like a perimenopause, or like connective tissue disorders, like hypermobility and so on, which you might have been getting away with until this point, and you no longer get away with it because now there's extra strain on the body and you're already pushing up against that fence. And now you go do that thing that you thought you could do, and you just push that fence right over, and then you become symptomatic. And what often happens is women get so scared when that happens, they run back into the farmhouse, and then they get very scared of movement. They don't want to do anything. So that's where I often see them, you know, either they're there or they push the fence over, and they're just like, you know, either wearing the pads or living with, you know, whatever symptoms they're living with, thinking that's normal as well, and not always seeking help for it, which is so sad, because there's an enormous amount we could do to help.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, as you were speaking, I just was thinking, we're so used to instant gratification, aren't we? And to be honest, in our 20s and even in our 30s, you know, if you started training at the gym pretty quickly, you'd start to see results, for example. You know, if you started eating differently, quite quickly, maybe potentially see results. And we're used to now, as a general society, getting what we want very quickly. And here, I think this is just like, well, pregnancy and birth is the ultimate universe's way of saying, sorry, ladies, you're not actually in control. But then afterwards, it's really hammered home, isn't it, that we have to be patient. Like, we have to accept that it is baby steps initially. And there is no fast track getting around proper recovery. I always like to say to postnatal ladies in particular, you know, if you had a very badly sprained ankle, and most of us have had a badly sprained ankle at some point in our lives, haven't we? And you know how long it takes to, you know, you've got to get the ankle up, you've got to ice it, you've got to rest it, you've got to slowly mobilize. You're never going to go straight into running on that ankle when you understand how bruised, et cetera, it is. But we expect after 6 weeks, a doctor says, oh, you're good to go. And we're like, okay, does that mean my marathon training starts again?
You know, you say that, but I always think birth is like a marathon, isn't it? Whether you have a normal vaginal delivery or whether you have a C-section, at no point would you come straight out of marathon training to go do more marathon training, unless you got slightly unhinged, okay, that's really not okay. You need to give your body time to rest and recover before you take on your next big project. So it's just, and especially if this is the first marathon you've run, or your second marathon in 2 weeks, if you liken that to how long it takes to recover postnatally, it's like you might want to give yourself a little bit of time there, before you want to get back to all the stuff that makes you feel like you, whatever that is, and finding a different way of maybe existing in your body, a different way that is more compassionate and more loving towards, what your body has just done, which is amazing. I mean, birth is amazing. Making a whole human being is amazing. So yeah. I think we need to see that for the miracle that it is, and give it due respect for the effect that it has on the body. And one of the things I see with my particularly C-section clients is, because they haven't vaginally birthed, they expect not to have pelvic floor issues, which is a fallacy. Maybe to some degree, there's less injury, as we know, to the pelvic floor, but there's still issues that can happen. But also, if you if you'd had major abdominal surgery, I'm taking out of the equation here a hysterectomy, because I see exactly the same attitude in medicine to women with who've had hysterectomies. There's no support afterwards. There's no education about what you can do. And if you'd had a gallbladder surgery or, some kind of peritonitis or an appendicectomy, you would have had proper education as to what you should and shouldn't do afterwards. You wouldn't be expected to be looking after a newborn and a toddler,
tribal living, it had its advantages, didn't it? And it is insane, really, when you think about it, how our society, we are very much so isolated. And that's why I think, ladies, if you're listening to this, Irina and I are both extraordinarily passionate about empowering women for the long term, because we feel like this world needs wise women. We need women. We need to feminize the world, because the patriarchal medical system in particular just simply does not work for 50% of the population right now. So part of that is supporting women to reestablish good pelvic floor function, deep core function, comfort in their bodies, release tension, release hindrances that are going to stop you being a kind of a leader, whether it's in your own family or your workplace, your community, having a voice, in life, if you like, because we do recognize that when you're feeling crappy and when your body is not functioning the way it did, it's very hard to then show up fully. Yeah. And the world is being disadvantaged from women not being able to show up fully. So that's why we wanted to do something which means that you can access help on a regular basis. It's easy to dip in and out of. It can fit around the kids. It can fit around sleep times and so on and so forth. And you the help is there. The support is there. You are not alone. The big thing I think both of us really want to say to women is, you're not alone. Don't do it on your own. I mean, I really think that when you've dropped to rock bottom, and a lot of postnatal mums do, the only way to go is sideways. You've got to lean in. You've got to lean into the wise woman around you and open up to help. And just, it's going to be bit by bit by bit. And then one day you will be the light for somebody else. Do the work, and then you will be able to help other people.
One of my patients yesterday came in and she said, I'm just doing it little and often. And I thought, I love that. And she's had amazing results in 2 weeks. She's gone from literally standing up and peeing herself to being able to get back to stuff in 2 weeks. Now, she's a diligent patient. She listened to what I said and she'd done it. But, and she's come back here going, it's amazing. But I've just done it little and often. And I think so often we think there has to be this project, you know, project me. And I often see women come in here with this like, project me, it's now my time. And then they don't have time for themselves again for the next 6 months because they've allowed for project me, which was like the hour they or 2 hours they've spent with me, you know. And I so often feel like even if you just do a little and often and just incorporate like your bathroom boot camp, which I love, you know, and I'm always giving patients advice, just do 5 squats every time you sit to stand and do it in this way, you know, just stand on one leg while you're brushing your teeth. Just, and it's that little and often, those are the little deposits again that make that long-term interest come due for you later on.
Do you know, I'm just going to jump in there because I just thought, you know, I think that a lot of us have a misconception of what our bodies actually need, that we think exercise equates to 3 or 4 times a week going to the gym, which means an hour at the gym and an hour getting their back, bloody blah, it's a big chunk. But it's movement, isn't it? It's movement, and then movement which is going to foundationally help us build up strength. So it doesn't matter. Like you said, it doesn't have to be chunks of time. It can be just basically knowing what to do so you can get on the ground when Bub's doing tummy time. Exactly. And be doing a little bit of your own tummy time, strengthening the extensor muscles of the back, you know, starting to do conscious breathing and pelvic floor activation when you're when you're breastfeeding. It's the little bits that you put into your day that is going to be more effective than I've had this image in my head of one of the very first ladies that I taught about 15 years ago now, and she had I knew her prior to birthing. She was very, very fit, incredibly fit lady, and then she didn't come to the postnatal class until all of the others had been coming for a while, and she came back. And what she had been doing is going to this club. She basically had been doing full-on sit-ups and press-ups. She'd been doing planking and stuff. And her diastasis recti, which she had said she didn't have much of one when she had her check, was really substantial, and she was starting to suffer with terrible back issues, etc. And that had got worse because she had gone and done stuff too fast, and that's so much harder to repair from, isn't it?
It is also because now we go back to that analogy of she's pushed the fence over, now she's too scared to move, you know. And what we want is for people to move. You want somebody, not that I ever really think a sit-up is necessary if you can do loads of other core stuff, as you know, that's much harder to do than a sit-up without the resulting intra-abdominal pressure that we don't need. But, you know, whatever floats your boat. It's about, like, is that you pushing the fence out, or is that you pushing the fence down? And what is the motivation behind that, you know, and what is the long-term effect? So, yeah, it's worth really thinking about all of that. Linda, I've got about 10 more minutes. So what I'm wondering is if I should quickly run through the kind of common things I see and what we do about it, or do you think?
I think that would be extremely helpful. What are the main issues that you see coming into clinic? Okay. For these postnatal mums?
So I think the main top, I'd say the top 90% of women that come in, at least this will be one of the complaints they have, is incontinence on some level. So either urge incontinence or stress incontinence. So the difference there being stress incontinence, coughing, sneezing, jumping, sometimes even walking, getting up from sitting to standing, and urge incontinence is that I need to go right now and I can't hold it. So that's probably the most common thing I see. Secondly, would either be hip and back pain, either it's upper back from breastfeeding posture, lower back from lifting something that you're not necessarily doing in the correct way or in a way that your body can cope with. Painful sex is a big one as well, where, you know, especially with a vaginal delivery, if the stitching has been done a certain way, if there was a tear, sometimes it's just a little catch on the outside, sometimes it's deep pain. So identifying where that's coming from can be important. Heaviness and dragging, especially if a woman isn't, you know, especially after the first one, things feel so different. Especially later on in life, if you're having your babies post 35, 38, around there, that kind of heavy, draggy feeling as the day goes on, that can get worse as well. The diastasis, as we've mentioned already, that's apparently one of the most Googled terms on postnatal recovery, isn't it? Diastasis, everybody worries about the gap. So I think... what we need to do here is really look at the bigger picture. I like to zoom out, and Diane Lee, one of the gurus in pelvic health, talks about Rackham, release the line, connect and move. And I think what often people want to do is just go move. But they might have tight tissues around their skull, whether that's the C-section or pelvic floor. It might be tight adductors because they share attachments. Those need to be released. It might be muscles around the iliac crest and the glutes or the lower back. All of that needs to be released. The alignment is all about your posture and stacking yourself in a way that is conducive to your body being able to hold itself without stress, connecting with the breath, you know, making sure that you're using the right breath for the activity you're about to do. And very often people find it incredibly hard to release through the belly. They've got this kind of tight belly and they're breathing up here, and then they're stressed and anxious because the parasympathetic nervous system is ready to fight or flight there. And they're already there probably because they're breastfeeding or whatever, and then it feeds in on itself. So working on the posture, working on the breath, working on releasing everything, working on education about functional movement and how to do it, because you may never have been taught how to do a squat properly. And that, here you are constantly having to lift up a baby or a deadlift where you get a proper hinge. So there's all these factors that go into looking at a mom, looking at hormone levels, hydration levels, nutrition levels, all these things that help to rebuild the muscle, whether that's the estrogen or the protein that they need, or more water from every cell in the body to function better, to be less fatigued, therefore be more able to do more, whether that is 5 minutes of yoga or 5 minutes of pelvic floor exercises. And then obviously doing pelvic floor exercises when appropriate. So Laura's just asked the question, do you have to do your pelvic floor exercises forever? Yes, Laura, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. You do. Even if it's just a little check-in now and again, making sure you can hold for 10 seconds, making sure you can lift and drop all the way up, all the way down 10 times, and making sure you've got those fast little flick muscles that's kind of like a ping pong ball in your vagina where you're dropping and catching, always making sure you are dropping it as well as catching. Now, you might only, you know, if you've got no pelvic floor issues at all, again, think of this as that deposit, you know. Somebody asked me the other day, what's the best time to start investing in a pension? And I laughed because the financial advisor I saw once said to me, 30 years ago, and the next best time is today. Now, your pelvic floor exercises are the same. You know, if you're thinking of the interest that accrues on your pension, if you'd started 30 years ago, well, you may have lost out on that. Well, too bad. But the next best time is today, you know. And then the big thing really with pelvic floor exercises, women will come in out and they'll go, I'm doing them. And unless they've got some tight patterns going on, I'll ask them, what position do you leak in? Because they can't understand why they're still leaking. And they'll, I leak when I walk, I leak when I sneeze or whatever. And I'll go, okay, what position are you doing your pelvic floor exercises? I was sitting in the car lying in bed. That's not when you're leaking, love. You know, so you really need to be doing them in the position you're leaking, or at least in one of your sets a day needs to be done in that position, so that you can use it against the same gravity or pelvic organ pressure than you're feeling in the leak as well. And the best way to know if you're doing them correctly is to actually pop your finger inside your vagina, hook over one side, hook over the other side, get familiar with how it feels. Is it different one side or the other? Because you might have a perfectly functional pelvic floor on the left, but the right-hand side is lagging behind. So now you cough or sneeze and one side's doing this or doing all the work and the other side isn't doing a hell of a lot. And now you leak, especially if you're perimenopausal, postnatal, breastfeeding, and that sphincter looks like this rather than nice and plump. So getting a little bit of vaginal estrogen is always useful for that particular case. But then just making sure you're loading the tissues in the, you know, if you like training your ankle to weight bear, you weight bear. That's what you do. You know, you work with two crutches, then you work with one crutch, and eventually you're working with just the brace, and eventually the brace comes off. It's the same, you know, with your pelvic floor. Now, a great trick that I learned recently, actually, which I think is brilliant, is on how do you know what your pelvic floor should feel like when it's contracted? So if you open up your thumb and you squish there, and you feel how that feels when it's relaxed, that's what your pelvic floor should feel like when it's relaxed. So I can compare my muscle tissue with my muscle tissue, and you can compare yours with yours. Because your thumb will feel very different to mine. And likewise, pelvic floors feel different, yeah? So if you take it across all the way to your pinky finger, so this is how you learn how to cook a steak, isn't it? If you feel how tight that is, that's how it should feel when you're 10 out of 10. Now, we're very rarely aiming for 10 out of 10. We're kind of aiming for about 8, even when you're doing your long hold or your big contraction. But that's similar to what you're going to feel in the muscle. So if you relax, it should feel squishy. And if you contract, it should feel hard. If you're doing your quick squeezes, you're not going all the way to 10, you're probably going to 5. And that's what that should feel like. Can you feel how that muscle contracts under your finger?
Oh my God, I love this.
I love that. I just learned it in my last course. It's always, well, in fact, I was teaching and I learned it from somebody else.
I love this.
Stop teaching. So, you know, when you're doing this yourself and you pop your finger, hook it over one side, feel the tissue. Can you feel that tension? When you contract, can you feel that tightness? The minute when your thumb is pulled all the way across. And when you've relaxed, does it go all the way squishy? Or does it kind of hold? Do you feel, oh, I still feel some tension? Take a deep breath in and get it to relax all the way so it's really soft. If you can't do that, then look at Linda's pelvic floor release video or those classes that you do on pelvic floor release and replenish. They are excellent. And I've had some, I've told you this, didn't I? I had a really interesting emotional release after doing your pelvic floor meditation. Which my daughter's 27 and this is where that stuff was stored down there, you know, you never know what's going to come up. So yeah, wow. So that's a little trick of the day of knowing. And Laura, if your pelvic floor is feeling, you know, you can get all the way up and hold for 10, you can do your 10 squeezes, you can, maybe you're fine just doing them once a day and then maybe once a week doing a set of 3 times a day. You know, I mean, I don't go do squats every day, but I certainly use my pelvic floor in all my functional movement. So, you know, I'll be using my pelvic floor, my squats to stand or in my lunge coming up or in my dead bugs or in my whatever else I'm doing, you know, so in my yoga, my Pilates. So if I've done a yoga or Pilates or workout, I know I've done my functional pelvic floor exercises for the day. There's no need for me to go stand around and do them another set, you know. It's just that if you've already got the knack and you already know what you're doing, use it.
And that's that foundational laying in, isn't it? It's yeah. Learning what it feels like. It's starting to know that you can get those fast twitch activations, slow twitch activations when you are isolating. And then it's starting just to make sure that you're adding them in when you are going from sitting to stand, when you're doing squats, when you're doing lunges, all that sort of stuff, which you might do in natural movement, to be honest, when you're going down to get the big washing basket and you're standing back up again, when you're going down to the washing machine, when you're carrying Bub and taking Bub into the pram, all of those movements, functional movements, that's when you can be doing your pelvic floor activation and release work. But once you know what you're doing, once you know what you're feeling, kind of thing.
And once you know, you've released all the tight tissues as well, because if you're hyperactive in your adductors, which often happens with incontinence, and in fact, it seems to happen with everybody I see. I don't know if I see it because I'm looking for it, but it's just in everybody, these bands going all the way down to the knees. And then they complain of knee pain because I do musculoskeletal work as well. I go, to pelvic floor? And lo and behold, they have pelvic floor issues, you know, because of the shared attachment. So even if you just go around stretching adductors all day, it'll be beneficial. But maybe
That's another talk. We need to do another talk on
Before you head right into doing your Kegels 3 times a day, make sure you know you don't have tightness there. You know, if that's visiting a pelvic floor physio or, you know, going in there and check for yourself and see how does that feel, you know, can I feel one side different to the other? Yeah, you need to consider all those.
Well, we covered most of the things you've been talking about in the postnatal recovery tent, actually, in the progressive course. And there's so all of the things you've touched on, people can go in and they can work with particular videos and do the classes which cover everything. You know, you get a one-to-one with me. If we have particular issues we need to sort out, it's so worth going and getting an appointment and getting a proper assessment, with Alrena. It's one of those things, know thyself, what your body needs, and then just do the work. I like to say to people, you know, you brush your teeth every day. It's not like you're going, oh my God, I'm sick of this. I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. You're like, yeah, I brush my teeth every day. It's just what I do. Well, girl, you need to look after your prime real estate every day. That's what we say.
Oh, I love that. Hi, Linda, I've got to head off, but thank you so much for having me, and I'll see you, is it in a couple of weeks or is it anywhere?
A week's time. So girls, if you've got questions, type them into our arena or come and join us next time. We are thrilled to bits to be able to answer some questions. Take care.
Thanks, have a great one. I'll see you Saturday.
Bye.